Hey, Will, welcome to, welcome to my house, right? Normally at this time at 11 o'clock a.m. on Facebook Live here, we'd be saying, welcome to Emmanuel, right? You'd be watching a nice live stream worship service that we have. And I've been so grateful for our tech team because of that, right? I mean, boy, you stop and think about where we've come from back in March when I began just kind of doing little videos there in my office. And thanks to your giving, allowing the church to get equipment and the tech team, boy, we've come a long way. And we really have I've been so blessed. Hundreds of volunteer hours by our tech team, and the live stream that we've seen has obviously been a real blessing. But for today, for a couple moments, you're stuck with me and just stuck with my cell phone. And the reason for that is that, to be honest, some of, you know, the sickness has kind of sprung up on us rather quickly here and, you know, caught us, you know, making some decisions here at the end of the week as a leadership team. We have numerous ones in our tech team, in our worship team, and throughout our church who have had flu-like symptoms, others who have had tested positive for COVID, myself being one of them. So Tuesday night, I came down with the flu-like symptoms and basically spent the next 48 hours in bed. And I did test positive for COVID, and my quarantine time ends on the 12th of December. Pastor Greg tested negative, so we praise the Lord for that. And but we just together felt as a leadership team that it would be good to take a pause from our public worship, allow those who are experiencing symptoms to recover from their symptoms, to allow quarantine times to kind of just run their course. And so we are basically here, me here with you today for just a couple moments. I wanted you to enjoy the decorations that I enjoy. I personally enjoy Greta's touch throughout our house and with the many decorations. And but I wanted to kind of just kind of get you excited about what's the church is going to look like when you are back. Because on Thursday night, a small group, not myself, but a small group, I wasn't there, a small group came together and decorated the church. And so we look forward to being in the church. It's decorated for Christmas, and we look forward to being together there. One of the things I'm really looking forward to is Christmas Eve. Our plan is to have three 30-minute Christmas Eve services. And so there'll be, we really want to make it as best as we can to be allow families, even with younger children, to be able to bring them out for something to remember on Christmas Eve. And so we are planning it with singing. We're planning, Pastor Greg will be sharing something with the kids, but they'll stay with you as families. We'll be closing with the candle lighting. And the times will be 4 o'clock, 5:30, and 7 o'clock. So there'll be 30-minute services that run, but at 4 o'clock, 5:30, or 7 o'clock. We recognize some of you won't be able to come or not yet feeling able, and we will be live streaming the 7 o'clock candle lighting service if you want to have a candle there in your house so that you can light with us. The other thing I wanted to let you know, oh, by the way, for that, you can sign up online. We have, if you go to our webpage, ibclife.org, you'll be able to sign up there for the Christmas Eve service, because we're hoping that we'll have folks looking for different ones. We want to be able to obviously keep with the restrictions and kind of be able to spread out families. But we also, one of the things we're doing is, as some of you have asked, as we've done in the past, we are having a Christmas card sharing table. So if you want to bring Christmas cards to church, you can do that, and they'll be placed in the boxes there that others can enjoy them. For this moment, I just wanted to share a little, a word with you little reflection just here from the shelter that God has given Greta and myself. And I say that really with deep gratitude to the Lord. You know, sometimes God uses harshness to allow us to be grateful. Shelter is one of those things that causes us to be grateful for, right? In other words, you get a cold winter day and you come in out of the cold, whew, into your house, you know, and, you know, for you're thanking God for a heater or a wood-burning stove or a fireplace or whatever it may be. Whew, thank you, Lord, for shelter. Sometimes it's during a thunderstorm. The thunder's pounding and, you know, loud, and the lightning and the rain, the sheets of it coming down, and you just, oh, you're so grateful for shelter. For me, one of the harshnesses this week was sickness. Curling up in bed one night, not with Greta. We slept sleeping in separate rooms, but curling up in bed and just, you know, in shivers with fever, and it just causing me to say, oh, Lord, forgive me for any time that I take for granted shelter. How many don't have it, Lord? Thank you for your shelter. And not just physically, because the Lord shelters us in so many ways. Sometimes it is through physical shelter. And I hope you're thanking God for your physical shelter right now. You know, sometimes it's the shelter that he gives us with family and friends that he surrounds us with, right? We're experiencing the harshness of the world. Maybe it's mistreatment directed at us. Maybe we're just looking at the world and we're seeing just things happening that just are grinding on us. And God sometimes will just surround us with lives that we need. The thing I wanted to draw to your attention for you today, where you are, is in all of these times, the Lord is calling us to find our greatest shelter in him. He's always using it. He's always at work. He wants us to find our greatest shelter in him. And I want to read for you Psalm 4. Psalm 3 and 4 are great shelter psalms. Psalm 3, thou, O Lord, are a shield around me when others are adversaries are piling up. But Psalm 4, if you have your Bible, I'm going to read the whole psalm. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. I want you to think about that. Because in verse 2, when he says, O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? David's struggling at several different things that he's seeing. He is struggling that his countrymen, his people that are supposed to be following God, their priorities are all wrong. And it's wearing on him. He's seeing the decisions they're making, and they're bad decisions. And living in an environment where you're seeing bad decisions around you, there's a harshness there against, you know, that can pile up on and grind on you. But even more than that, they had hostility toward him. We experience these things that come in different ways, and fears and anxieties over physical sickness, over difficult times, over the world around us, whatever it may be. Verse 3 is sitting there from the Lord. For what does it say? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. You know, it's really saying to us that the Lord, the only word I can come up with is a bubble. That the Lord is able to provide an intimate bubble for you as his child, wherever you are, no matter what's happening around you. That's what he's saying. That word, the words there, the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. That's the picture that we would come up with, right? I remember years ago when my daughter Natalie, all my kids played Saleo soccer over at Bethel Baptist Church at the time. And she was the goalie for her team, and they had made it to the championship game. And the way they had it then is if you got into overtime, every minute of overtime, they would remove a player off of the field, so that it came down to just Natalie and goalie and one player on her team playing against the other two. And the two on the field are exhausted, the goalies are exhausted, field. It was in a gymnasium. But I remember watching it, and I remember all of a sudden seeing the action was pretty much staying on Natalie's side of the court. And I thought, I don't know how they're possibly going to survive, you know, this. And the other goalie came out, and eventually what happened? I could see on Natalie's face just this tremendous panic. The gymnasium was packed. It really was. I'm not embellishing. You know, the gymnasium was filled with people, and I could see the weight she was carrying. And a shot went by her and into the net. And as soon as it did, and the gym erupted in cheers for the team that won, and they were people running on the court, Natalie fell to the gymnasium floor. I had already prepared for that, and I had made my way over as close as I could without stepping on the gym floor to when it happened. I was out there within a couple seconds, kind of sweeping her up in my arms. And I'm not saying, oh, what a great dad. I'm saying it was a little taste of me, for me, of what God does for me. I'm a human father with faults and weaknesses, but my feelings for my daughter had me already there to provide a bubble around her, a shelter for her to be able to just be with me. The Lord wants to offer that to you right now. He does offer it to you. Maybe you've been facing many areas of strife and concern. Maybe you feel really exposed to the harshness of others, the harshness of life, the harshness of fear, panic. And I believe that Psalm 4 is telling us God wants to use it, not to pile guilt on you, but to call you to his shelter right now, just you and him. He's saying, I'm coming to put a bubble around you. You know, I see that in the Christmas story. You know, when we read that such, you know, familiar passage there in Luke's gospel, right? In chapter 2 there. And when we read those words that many have, you know, memorized, verse 7, and she gave her birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That story has been embellished, and there's the knocking on the innkeeper's door and all. But what we're reading is harshness. Jesus is being born in the midst of some harsh elements, right? And yet look at what we read. In the same region there were shepherds, right? And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Right? And what do we have in verse 13? Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on an earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." To me, it's this incredible picture of what? Harshness, but what surrounds it? God can put a bubble over it all. He surrounds it with the blanket of his angels. I mean, there is such a visual display that God has his son under his shelter. God wants to do that for you right now. And really, it's a matter of you allowing him. He is there. He offers to you that shelter. He has set apart that shelter for you. But he hears those who call him. So right where you are, whatever you're facing, you're weary, tired, disappointed, bothered, angry, come to his shelter. It's not in the church. It's not here in my house. It is for me, not for you. Come to his shelter right where you are. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for our church this morning. Almighty God, I thank you for any and all who are watching online right now. You know what each person carries. Lord, I pray that you might give each one the grace right now to say, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. As the song says, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for you. Lord, I come into this intimate bubble of support that you offer me. Surround me, Lord, because I trust you. Oh, Lord, I thank you that I can pray that and know that you are bigger than I am. You are wiser than I am. You are in more control than I am. And so it is that I can enter into this intimate shelter that you provide. And I can do as David did. I can lay down in perfect peace. I can rest. Because you're the one who's provided. Father, I pray that you would provide in other ways for folks. Surround them with loving care through other lives. I pray for our church family. For those who are experiencing symptoms and for those who are just experiencing worry, frustration over it all, oh God, I ask you to give your shelter of peace over our congregation, your shelter of healing. We ask you to allow us as a church to be able to gather together corporately in that church building, to be able to join our voices in song this Christmas, to be able to praise you for entering this broken world. And so we thank you, Lord, and in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we ask for your healing, for your protection, for your shelter, for your peace, for your glory in all things. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.